Welcome to the podcast of Mike Frazier, Senior Pastor of Canton Baptist Temple. Here you can learn and understand the truths of God's Word so that you may live out those truths. To get a glimpse of what is taking place at our church and to hear more of Mike Frazier, visit our website, cantonbaptist.org. If you have any questions or comments, we would like to hear from you. Please email us at radio@cantonbaptist.org. Now let's join Mike Frazier.
2 Timothy. We are in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and chapter 4 this evening. I don't know about you, but the passages of Scripture that I'm going to share with you tonight is, they are what I would call my go-to Scriptures. I don't know if you have a passage of Scripture, maybe a chapter, but a portion of Scripture that whenever you get down and you're struggling and you need to get everything back in focus again, you go to that particular portion of Scripture. How many of you have like a portion of Scripture like that? Okay, some of you do. Maybe it's a psalm. I don't know what it is, but it seems like whenever we go through difficult times and we're struggling, and maybe like I've been preaching on Sunday mornings, we're going through those deep, dark valleys, there's a passage of Scripture that you go back to. What I am going to share with you tonight are some very important thoughts that God has reinforced in my mind and in my heart over and over again throughout the years, especially when I sense that I'm out of focus or I need to get back on track and I need to once again make sure that I am doing what God wants me to do. These two passages of Scripture have really helped me. I've simply titled tonight's lesson, Words of Advice. Words of Advice. And as you come to the end of the book of Acts, you find that the Apostle Paul is under house arrest in Rome. During that time, he wrote four letters, often referred to as prison epistles. Do you remember those? They would be Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. He was then released from prison, and he traveled a few more years ministering and being an encouragement to the churches that he had started and continuing to share the gospel wherever he would go. But then he was arrested again. And Paul was eventually executed in Rome by an emperor named Nero about AD 67. It was during those final years of his life that Paul wrote 1 and 2 Timothy and also the book of Titus. They are called the pastoral epistles because they deal with church leadership issues. So as we read our text tonight found in the book of 2 Timothy, keep in mind that this is probably the last letter that Paul wrote. He would soon die at the hands of the Romans. But before his departure, Paul had some last words of advice for young Timothy, who was pastoring the church at Ephesus. And I would like for you to look at these words found in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Let's begin in chapter 2, verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Go to chapter 4. Chapter 4 of 2 Timothy. I'm going to read verses 1 through 5. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Notice again back in chapter 2, verse 1, that Paul refers to young Timothy as my son. Now, it is thought of that during Paul's first missionary journey that Timothy got saved under the preaching of the Apostle Paul. In 1 Timothy 1 and verse 2, you may want to glance at that, but Paul calls Timothy his son in the faith. And in 2 Timothy 1, 2, he refers to him as his dearly beloved son. Needless to say, there must have been a very special relationship between them, much like a father-son relationship. That's the kind of relationship that exists between the Apostle Paul and young Timothy. And as Paul realized that he did not have much longer to live, he decided, and of course we know it's under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that he writes these words, but he writes a letter of encouragement and a letter of exhortation to his spiritual son. It's in these verses that we've just read that Paul is giving young Timothy what I would call his last words of advice. When we ordain men into the gospel ministry here at Canton Baptist Temple, we sit down as a council and we question them over their doctrinal beliefs. And we spend a couple of hours doing that. At the end of those ordination councils, I have always asked the pastors who are present to go around the table and to share some words of advice to the one being ordained. Well, these words from the Apostle Paul here tonight are better than any words of advice from a seasoned pastor to a young preacher. These are words that all of us need to keep in our mind. Now, let me give you six different words of advice tonight, all right? Some exhortations that Paul gives to young Timothy. Number one. Look at 2 Timothy 2 and chapter 1. He says, be strong. Be strong. I'm reminded that the ministry is not for the weak. The ministry is for those who are determined to be strong. Now, the verb be strong is in the imperative, making it a command. But the verb is also passive, indicating that the source of Timothy's strength was not in himself, but notice where it is, in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. I don't have the strength that it takes to persevere in the ministry of Canton Baptist Temple. But we are commanded to be strong. But it is a passive verb, meaning that source of strength is not in ourselves, but rather it is in God through faith in Christ. Keep in mind, we are saved by grace, but it is also by God's grace that we are sustained and we are strengthened, not only in the ministry, but also in our Christian life. Overwhelmed by the everyday pressures of the ministry, it's quite possible that Timothy was so discouraged that he was just ready to quit. Maybe he lacked the vision to press forward with the work that he had been assigned to there in the city of Ephesus. But his mentor, Paul, his spiritual father, had already learned something about the correlation between feeling weak and inadequate and the need for God's sustaining grace. Paul understood something about that grace. As a matter of fact, do you remember his words in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9? And he said unto me, God was speaking to Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Whenever I feel weak and I feel inadequate and I feel like I cannot go on, I'm reminded that my strength comes through the grace of God. It is by faith in Christ that we are able to tap into that grace, that strength that God offers to us. The psalmist had learned something about the need for God's strength. Psalm 71, verse 16, I will go in the strength of the Lord God. Notice the psalmist doesn't say, I think I can make it. I think I have what it takes. I believe that I somehow or another, if I can just grit my teeth and bear it and press on, I think I'm going to get there. No. He acknowledges that he is inadequate. He acknowledges that he doesn't have the strength that he needs. But instead he said, I will go what? In the strength of the Lord God. Psalm 73, verse 26, but God is the strength of my what? My heart, right? He is the strength of my heart. It is God that gives us the inner strength to just keep going forward. Whether you're in the ministry or whether you're a Christian, and there are so many Christians every year that drop out of church. They just quit. Suddenly along the way, it gets tough. And, they hit some bumps in the road and they decide, you know what, this whole church thing is not for me. This Christian life thing is just not what it's cracked up to be. Paul tells Timothy, be strong. Be strong. Realize that your strength for the Christian life and your strength to do ministry does not come from within, but comes from God. It's not you just mustering up what it needs to take to get through those tough times, but rather it is realizing that if God doesn't give you the strength, you're not going to get through it. And so the psalmist understood something about that strength as well. Don't forget the words of the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah 26 and verse 4. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Not just strength for today, but strength for tomorrow, and strength for next week, and next month, and next year, if the Lord tarries his return. God's strength is everlasting. He never runs out of the strength that you and I need for living the victorious Christian life and doing the ministry that he's called us to do. So the first admonition is, Timothy, be strong. Now, do you understand why this is my go-to passage of Scripture? Sometimes I have to go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, and I say to myself, Mike, be strong. Be strong. It's not a suggestion. It's a command. It's a passive verb, meaning that, yeah, you're right. You don't have what it takes. Mike, you don't have the strength. You're inadequate. You're weak. But in God's strength, you can make it. See? Number two. Notice chapter 2, verse 2. Commit thou to faithful men. Commit thou to faithful men. Timothy was to be a conduit of the truth of God's word. He was to be thinking about the future and thinking about the importance of passing on solid doctrine to the next generation. I'm excited about what I hear when I get a text from Bruce Solinger about what took place in the juniors department, because there I can see that he and all the workers there, they're passing on solid doctrine to the next generation. And those kids are going to grow up and they're going to be serving at Canton Baptist Temple one day. And so that baton just passes on from generation to generation. Notice in verse 2 that you find four generations. Four generations. Notice the word me. Who is me? The Apostle Paul, right? He's the one writing it. So there he says, and the things that thou hast heard of me. There's the first generation, the Apostle Paul. Notice secondly, he says, and the things that, what? Thou. Who's the thou? Timothy, right? Young Timothy. Paul is writing to Timothy. So first generation, you got the Apostle Paul. Second generation, you have Timothy. And then it goes on and it says, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to what? Faithful men. There's that next generation, the third generation. And then notice the fourth. Who shall be able to teach what? Others also. Do you see the four generations there? Paul, Timothy, the faithful men, and the others. While we know from Matthew chapter 16 that the church of Jesus Christ will never be destroyed, because Jesus has said, I will build my church, right? That's what he says in Matthew 16. But we also know at the same time that we have seen local churches all across America stray from the truth of God's word, and even at times they cease to exist. How many of you know some churches like that? I do. Some churches that used to exist several decades ago, and they no longer exist. Some churches where the pulpit was literally a sacred desk for proclaiming the truth of God's word, and today They have strayed away from the solid Bible doctrine, the articles of the faith that we hold so dearly. You see, from a human standpoint, the church is only one generation away from extinction. One generation. And to a great extent, the future of any local church is dependent upon the leadership's loyalty to the Scriptures. That's why every pastor needs to be a teacher of the Bible. My dad used to tell me often that all good preaching has a strong emphasis on the teaching of the Scripture. That's what he used to say. But not only is Paul stressing the importance of a pastor being theologically solid, but he's also stressing the importance of committing or entrusting that theology to the next generation. Methods may change, but the message must never change. That's what he's getting at. He says that message, that doctrine of faith, those doctrines that we hold dear, let's pass them on to the next generation and then to the next generation. Every generation's a little bit different in style and methodology. How many of you have noticed that? You don't have to be around long before you notice that. But the key is that the doctrine does not change. Theology must not change. The DNA, the core values of who we are, must be transmitted from generation to generation. That's important here at Canton Baptist Temple. That's the way that we will remain solid theologically and gospel-centered in the decades to come, making sure that we pass that on from generation to generation. If somewhere along the way that baton gets dropped, then this church could become a liberal church literally within a 10-year period of time. God forbid that that should happen, right? We build on the foundation that was laid for us in the years past. We continue to be faithful to the doctrines of our faith, and we want to pass that on to the next generation. One of the things that I like about our ABF classes, and they're all on the same curriculum, teaching the same material. Every teacher's a little bit different. If you went to all 16 different classes, you would say, wow, those are 16 very different teachers. They're all different in their styles and the way they're communicating, but they're all communicating the same content, the same message. I like that because every generation, and by the way, that same content is in our children's departments, in our student division, and also in our adult department. So everybody's learning the same material, age appropriate, of course, but they're getting that same baton of truth that they can pass on to the next generation. Look at chapter 2, verse 3. Notice the third admonition, and that is endure hardness. Endure hardness. Now, that is almost an implication that the ministry is not going to be easy. Building a church is not going to be easy. Paul is telling Timothy, hey, it's going to be hard. Endure. Endure hardness. Don't be a quitter. There's no place for a quitter in the ministry. He's saying be faithful. In chapter 4, go to chapter 4, verse 5, Paul repeats this challenge by saying endure afflictions. When times get tough, just endure. Keep going. Now, in Paul's letters, he compares the Christian life to a number of analogies. He compares it to a farmer, a builder, a runner, a boxer. All those analogies, you may remember how he used those analogies to talk about the Christian life. But here in our text, the analogy is what? Being a soldier. That's the idea. A soldier. Because he says here, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Soldiers have to learn to endure. My son Justin, about a month ago, got through with Navy boot camp over at Great Lakes. And boot camp is not something you walk away from saying, boy, I really enjoyed that. They teach those young sailors there to endure. To endure. They tell them, hey, now you're a sailor with the United States Navy. So we expect you to endure hardship. For what? For the country. For the United States of America. Well, think about it, folks. We are soldiers in the army of Jesus Christ. We're supposed to endure. Paul was sometimes, he was actually chained to soldiers. Keep in mind, he's sitting in prison as he's writing these pastoral letters. And no doubt he had a soldier, a Roman soldier on his right and a Roman soldier on his left. And he was under high security alert. And no doubt as he looked at those Roman soldiers on both sides, he was reminded of how we as Christians, we are soldiers of Jesus Christ. So he gives this analogy of Timothy being a soldier on the front line of the battle. But this was not just any battle. We are in, and Timothy was in, and we are in a battle for the souls of men. Think about that. That's an incredible battle. A soldier is expected to endure a variety of hardships in order to win the battle. In the same way, we must, as Christians, we must patiently endure and persevere in times of difficulty. When things get tough, the tough get going, right? We don't bail. We don't quit. Instead, we just say, all right, let's get her done. Let's do what we got to do. And what a great reminder this is for our ministry here at Canton Baptist Temple. The idea that Paul is conveying to Timothy is don't give up. Don't give up. This is no time to retreat. We are to expect hardship and difficulty, not only in the Christian life, but also in our ministry. You may remember that the Thessalonian believers were so surprised whenever they endured suffering. And they encountered problems as believers in Christ. So Paul wrote to them in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 3 that no man should be moved by these afflictions. You shouldn't budge. Stay put. Be faithful. Put your roots down. Endure. Be strong. That's the idea. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. Nobody said it was going to be easy. My dad tells me that from time to time. Mike, nobody said the ministry was going to be easy. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know. Don't be surprised. We told you it wasn't easy. But you stay with it. Don't quit. Don't retreat. Be strong and endure. The fourth thing that he says is in chapter 4. Go to chapter 4, 2 Timothy 4 and verse 1. He says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. The emphasis of this verse is that we are accountable for the way that we live and the way that we serve in our Christian lives. Paul was reminding young Timothy that he was ultimately accountable to Jesus Christ. Paul's challenge in and of itself was no doubt a great motivation to young Timothy to be faithful, but the greatest motivation is that one day all of us will stand face to face before our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When it gets right down to it, we are not looking for the approval of man, but rather we are looking for the approval of God, right? 2 Corinthians 5, verse 9, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. My friend, we are not free to do ministry however we please. We are not free just to live our lives however we please. But rather, we as believers in Jesus Christ, we are called to live our lives for him. One day we're going to be accountable to him. That motivates me. Whenever I read these verses and I think to myself, I am going to have to stand before Jesus Christ one day and give an account for the way that I have pastored Canton Baptist Temple. Wow. That's a heavy responsibility that's on my chest. But that is exactly what Paul is exhorting young Timothy with. His last words of advice here, he says, don't forget, we are accountable to to God for the way that we minister and the way we live our lives. That's a challenge. It's a challenge for all of us here tonight. Not only is it a challenge for us personally as we think about standing before Christ, but it's a challenge as we look at our kids and our grandkids and we think about what kind of example are we setting for them? What are we passing on to the next generation? You see, we must be faithful. We've got to endure. We've got to be strong. Then notice, if you will, chapter 4, verse 2, preach the word. Preach the word. Now, behind that Greek word translated preach is the idea of public proclamation. Note that the content or the substance of Timothy's preaching was to be what? The word. Preach the word. How would you define a good message? I'm not asking for an answer, by the way. How would you define a good message? Would it be a message with some good stories? Maybe some really funny jokes, or maybe it's when the preacher is really energetic and all over the platform. I remember a man here that actually came up to me and said, your preaching's okay, but let me tell you, you need to loosen up your tie, unbutton your coat, and look like you're fighting bees. So, wow, don't know if I can do that or not, but what makes a good message? Please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm certainly not against good stories. I'm not against funny jokes. And I'm not against preachers that move around on the platform. Every preacher has his own style of communicating the truth of God's word. But a good message, I believe, a good message is one where the word of God is faithfully taught and the gospel is clearly communicated. That's a good message, right? Dr. Warren Wiersbe, and I often quote him. I had the joy of hearing him in chapel services there at Tennessee Temple University when I was a Bible school student, and I have read his books for years and years. What a great, great servant of God. But listen to what he says, and I quote, "The Word of God is what both sinners and saints need. It is a pity that many churches have substituted other things for the preaching of the Word. Things that may be good in their place, but that are bad when they replace the proclamation of the word." End of quote. It's not that we're saying good stories or jokes or all these things are bad. No. But they should never replace the centrality of the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. Notice that Timothy was to be what? Instant in season and out of season, meaning formally and informally, convenient or inconvenient. He was always to be ready, always prepared to share the word with whomever he came in contact with. Timothy's preaching would be for the purposes of, notice, reproving, rebuking, and exhorting, right? Let's talk about those three words just for a moment. Reprove, that means to correct false doctrine. Folks, there is a lot of false doctrine out there right now. A lot of false doctrine circulating in churches, even right here in our own community. One of the main ways that we correct false doctrine is by faithfully teaching true doctrine. That's how you correct false doctrine. You preach the true doctrine week in and week out. Then notice rebuke. That means to correct false behavior. A pastor must preach against sin. That's all there is to it, folks. I do not understand preachers today that won't even mention the word sin. It's mind-boggling. But a pastor's got to preach against sin in such a way that people are confronted with their need to not only confess their sin, but to live holy lives. If you can come to Canton Baptist Temple week after week after week and not feel impressed to live a holy life, then we're not doing our job around here. We're supposed to be keeping the thumbs into your back, into your shoulders, so to speak, saying, stay on your toes. Confess sin. Make sure there's nothing between your soul and the Savior. Live a holy life that will honor and glorify God. You say, well, I don't know if I like that kind of preacher. Well, that's Bible preaching. Where you preach against sin and you encourage people to live holy lives. Then notice the word exhort. Exhort means to encourage and to admonish. My father-in-law, and I've said this before, but I always thought it was sort of a cute saying. My father-in-law used to say, the pastor's job is to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable. You're one or the other here tonight. To comfort the afflicted or to afflict the comfortable. There must be a good balance between reproving, rebuking, and exhorting. Now notice that all three aspects, reproving, rebuking, exhorting, require what? Long suffering is what he says. It takes patience to work with people because you can't force somebody to get saved. You can't force somebody to spiritually grow in their walk with the Lord. And so as a pastor and as workers here at Canton Baptist Temple, our job is to faithfully share, to faithfully proclaim and declare the whole counsel of God's Word with the understanding that ultimately it is God that does the work in people's hearts. We can't do it, but God can. Verse 3 warns us that the time will come, and by the way, I think we are already there, when a large segment of so-called Christians will not be able to tolerate a steady diet of Bible teaching. They want a little Bible and a whole lot of entertainment. That's the generation and the culture that we are trying to minister in today. We have more and more pastors today who, as I mentioned earlier, will not even mention the word sin from the pulpit. Why? Well, they don't want to be offensive, and they want to be politically correct. But bottom line, for me as a pastor, I don't want to offend God. I might offend some people from time to time, but I don't intentionally do it. If I preach the Word of God and I confront sin and I encourage holy living, then yeah, it's going to offend some people from time to time. And by the way, my job is not to be politically correct, but to be theologically correct. That's what's important. You don't want a politically correct pastor, right? I hope not. You want a theologically correct pastor. A pastor who stands on the Word of God and who preaches the tenets of this book week in and week out. The truth must be conveyed with love, but the truth must never be compromised. Never. The last one, number 6, we see in chapter 4, verse 5, do the work of an evangelist. Do the work of an evangelist. While as pastors we try to feed the sheep on a weekly basis, we must not forget to clearly communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ. The very first aspect of our mission here at Canton Baptist Temple is to reach, right? Reach, teach, and minister. Ben has got that going over and over again throughout our ABFs to really stay focused on the mission. Reach, teach, and minister. But may I remind you, the very first aspect of our mission is to reach. Reach. So what does that mean? It means to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It means that we are to be a witness for Christ. It means that we are to be sharing the gospel with lost people. Not just here on Sunday, but 7 days a week. Wherever God places us this upcoming week, we ought to be reaching people with the gospel. I love it whenever people walk the aisle and get saved here at Canton Baptist Temple. I love it whenever I get a text on a Sunday afternoon from Bruce saying, hey, we had a boy get saved today up in the juniors department. I love it whenever Ben will send me a text and he'll say, hey, there was a young lady that got saved in the church office this week on Thursday. Boy, that's great. That is great. Winning people to Jesus is why we do what we do week in and week out. So, here are the exhortations that keep me going. I want to repeat them to you very quickly. Number one, be strong. Be strong. This is my go-to passage of Scripture. When I get down, when I get discouraged, when I feel like my focus is not like it used to be strong. And then number two, commit thou to faithful men. And then number three, endure hardness. And then number four is what? Have y'all been taking notes? I charge thee. We're accountable. We're accountable to God for the way that we minister and the way we live. And then preach the word. Preach the word. And then, number six, do the work of an evangelist. That keeps us focused. That's what it's all about. And I hope that these words of advice from the Apostle Paul will be an encouragement and a challenge to you tonight. You say, well, I'm not a pastor. Well, you're a Christian, I'm assuming, born-again believer. Hopefully you're serving the Lord in some capacity here at Canton Baptist Temple. Take those six things and apply it to your life and to your ministry.
You have been listening to Mike Frazier, Senior Pastor of Canton Baptist Temple. Like Canton Baptist Temple on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Canton Baptist. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday to get a personal glimpse of what God is doing at our church. We'll meet you here again next week.